Hello and welcome to Digital Logic PC Gaming Podcast with Ender's Logic, Flopsy, and your host, Robert Digital. Now turn your game volume down, your earbuds up, and fucking enjoy.
Yeah.
Is that what we're calling these?
So, okay. So I like to do some research on video game creation because, you know, that's kind of the field I'm in and it's the field I want to get more into. And one of the game design ideas that I've read about is they'll take just a bucket of game genres, pick two out of the buckets, and have to come up with a game, spur of the moment, based on these two genres. Just blend them together.
Were they called smashes?
Mashups or something like that.
Yeah. Where it's like... Hmm.
So, I've got a list of 31 different genres.
Okay.
You're going to do random on two... Pick two random numbers, and we're going to... I'm going to read them to you, and you got to make... You got to mash them up and give me game? Something.
Okay.
So, you can either do random, or you can just shout out two numbers.
Bobby, you're up first.
Right, so we've got to come up with a title for the game and then describe what the game's like.
What it would be, I guess.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
This is all off the cuff, folks.
Yeah.
If it's not fun, blame Chad.
Okay.
All hate mail goes to Flopsy.
Go ahead. Give me two numbers.
Between what and what?
1 and 31.
1 and 31? Okay. I'm going to go with Lucky 7, and I'll throw in 23.
Now you need to do a flight simulation rhythm game.
That's not too bad. That's not
Pilot Wings. Hard.
Okay.
Pilot Wings. What are we up to? 3, 2. No, we'll just call it Pilot
the
Wings.
The next Pilot Wings.
Yeah.
But yeah. How's the rhythm being incorporated?
It's got a groovy little soundtrack.
Bonus points if you do. If you hit.
Yeah, you got to do like a barrel roll when like
drum
the beat
comes.
Kicks in or something, you know.
Or maybe the music plays more as you got to hit the notes as you're flying.
Mm-hmm. So you're riding the sound waves. It's kind of like that audio surf.
You lose altitude if you don't hit the right beats.
Yeah, I gotcha.
Music is your fuel.
Okay.
That's pretty easy to throw together.
Let's
go 15 and 16. 15
and 16. A massively multiplayer MOBA. Go.
Oh, super easy. I've already thought about this.
Okay.
So it would be an MMO, standard MMO, where you go and you do your adventuring, you do your grouping up, and then you take your character onto the MOBA battlefield, and that's how you do your PvP. So
pretty much arenas or battlefields or battlegrounds and WoW?
You start at zero... When you get in there?
Haven't worked that part out yet. Okay. But the interesting part about it is that nobody knows what class you are from afar. So you're kind of learning each other as you lane with that person for a while.
Fantasy genre?
Yeah, probably. Since it's such a huge, such a big scale and scope, something like that would be, maybe it would be more like... what's the dragon... Whatever, the one where it has like everything... going on. It's got fantasy and sci-fi and steampunk.
Shadowrun?
Yeah, Shadowrun. Mm. Yeah. Dragonfall, I always want to say. And it would probably be called...
Top-down, though, for the MOBA or third-person?
It would probably be third-person, just like that. Okay. Yeah. And then it would probably be called No Free Time Ever Again.
Your life is over.
Yeah, your life is over. You're not getting laid.
All right, you're doing two randoms for me because I want to do this too, but I know the list a little bit. So
I was wondering when this was going to come in.
So okay, hit 22. 22.
Yep.
We already did. We already did 22. So give me another one.
Right, did we?
Yeah, that was rhythm.
28 and 6.
28 and 6. So a survival horror collectible card game. Okay. You're a Yu-Gi-Oh character stuck in the woods, and when monsters approach you, you have to battle them with your card deck, or they eat you.
I mean, it's pretty much Pokemon, right? Except for you made them scary.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It'll work, I guess.
Yeah, a dark collectible card game. Like, yeah. have they done a dark collectible card game?
It's just going to have to be Pokemon, but there's just going to be like...
Like evil horror monsters.
Yeah.
That you're collecting.
Right. Or tax collectors or whatever.
Magic had some pretty dark characters to it.
Yeah, for sure. Which it wasn't scary. There's no part of it. You got the worst accommodation.
Yeah. Dude. Yeah, that was bad.
I could see you wrapping a Halloween theme on that somehow.
Okay. And the name of it is Catch 'em All or You're Dead.
Cards Against Humanity.
Yeah. All right. Anyways, that was our mashup.
All right.
Woo!
Super.
I liked it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like if we had some more time to prepare, we probably could have come up. I'm not too good just off the cuff.
Yeah, right. You were like, Pilot's Wings. He wasn't even done.
Yeah.
Pilot Wings. Well, I've been waiting for a good Pilot Wings remake. I mean, they did one for, what, N64 or some console, right?
Yeah.
I don't play consoles, so I don't know, but I'm pretty sure there was a Pilot Wings remake, and that was a Super Nintendo game I enjoyed.
I don't even know what Pilot Wings is.
Really? You never played Pilot Wings?
Pilot Wings was a classic SNES game.
Yeah, you got to boot that up on an emulator because it was a lot of fun.
Back in the awesome graphics from back in the day.
Is that the one where you fly through circles that are in the sky? Okay, I think I did play.
Yeah, and there's one where you parachute.
And so
I did play it.
Yeah, it's like a bunch of little mini games. Yeah.
I thought it was a PC game for some reason, since you were talking about it, Bob.
Nope. So let's talk about Expendabros and Broforce is, I guess, going to be what we're going to spend our most time talking about. I'm a little confused on this. Expendabros, I just found out, is a free game? Free standalone game?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, Expendabros is. Yeah.
It's basically an advertisement.
It's an advertisement for
Or a demo. Force. It's kind of more of a
it's like
demo.
A demo,
but
I guess.
It's a little bit bigger than a demo.
Yeah. And it doesn't have any of the characters from Broforce. It has its own characters.
It's almost just like a sample. You play it, and then the idea is that you're going to want to buy Broforce after that.
Or
watch the movie
Expendables. Or watch Expendables 3.
Because it's based on Expendables. All the characters are from Expendables. Okay.
That's funny. It almost reminds me of like shareware from back in the day, you know, where you would get one level for free and then you'd have to buy like the next.
There is similarities.
So was it last night that we played Expendables?
Or
the night before.
It doesn't matter. Nights. Whatever.
So I was looking for something for me and Chad to play.
We had just gotten a second controller.
Oh, yeah.
So now we can play two controller games.
Right.
Which is opening up gobs of new
You know what I got to give you guys? I got a copy, an extra copy of Double Dragon Neon.
We were talking about
actually. Right. Yeah. Well, we could just play off the family sharing.
Yeah, that's true.
So if you ever stop playing Thursday weekend. We got two controllers. Bobby's going to play the entire weekend.
Yeah.
But how great is... I was thinking about that today. How great is family sharing? I mean, how much do we use that now?
It's like... It always makes me think of Netflix. Because Netflix, if you're like sharing it with like a buddy of yours or something, you always feel a little bit like you're stealing. Because they're just like, okay, you can have two running at once.
Yeah, Netflix, you can have multiple instances running at the same time in different places.
That's
a lot of people share their Netflix accounts.
Yeah.
Like, I use my girlfriend's. But, yeah, it's family sharing. I was just thinking about it. I don't want to get too off topic from Expendabros and Broforce, but, like, how many times have we used that recently? We're all doing it now, and, like, there's certain games you can do it with. Like single player games, you know, you wouldn't do it with a multiplayer game that we'd be playing together. But it's a great way to try a game out. And if you really like it and you want to have it in your library, then you can buy it. But otherwise, you don't, you know, you save yourself a little bit of money. It's probably the best thing Steam's done in a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was just thinking I would probably pay for this, maybe a little bit, not much. But yeah, I think it'd be worth it.
I think it would be nice if Steam had a thing where if you played your buddy's family share, you could get it at a discount because if the choice is between me playing it on my buddy's account or buying it at full price, I'm going to play it on my buddy's account. But if I play on my buddy's account and maybe at that point it's half price, then I'd definitely think about picking it up.
Oh, I see.
Kind of like a...
Yeah, maybe like a referral system.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
If someone's playing your account and then they buy it, you get a little bit...
Yeah, you get a little kickback.
You get some points. Yeah. That's what they should do.
Yeah, I like that.
Especially the guy with a million.
Yeah, right.
He's family shared with everybody.
But, I mean, what's great about it is that the game's... It's just one game, but it's like... you know, with consoles, you can let somebody borrow your CD or your cartridge or whatever, and then they can play your game. I mean, that was a big part of consoles. But with computers and Steam, I got used to that, never doing that. Like, yeah. I just kind of accepted the fact, like, once it's in my Steam library, it's mine and nobody else can play it. I can't let people borrow it. I can't resell it or get rid of it. It's just there forever. And this is kind of a way that compensates for that.
Yeah, and there is a level of trust there. Well, either you go to that person's house and unlock it, or mm-hmm. you give them your password. So you need to really know the people. So don't ask people.
Yeah.
Yeah, but anyway, I really like Broforce. I really liked it a lot, surprisingly. Yeah. Like, this is probably the closest, if I could just put it in a nutshell, this is probably the closest NES experience that I've had ever, really. But I never played Shovel Knight, so, you know.
No, this is more accessible than Shovel Knight. Shovel Knight really? Is an RPG. This is literally just pick up and play.
Yeah.
Well, it's like an NES game. It's easy. It's fucking hard as shit.
Yeah, it does get hard.
I did watch you die continuously on one boss for like 30 minutes.
I mean, it's got some modern things about it, but it definitely feels like one of those old NES games. It's very much like Contra.
Looks like a Metal Slug.
Yeah.
Yeah, Metal Slug.
Neo Geo game.
Destructible environments. Like this one, you know, you can destroy everything in this game except for the metal platforms
Let's run it down real quick. It's a 2D side scroller, 8-bit.
Up to four people.
And yeah, like you said, fully destructible. So you can dig underneath.
It's harder to go down and up. You can go across really easy, but it's harder to go up and down.
And you get to unlock all these different bros as you play. Well, when you played Expendables Bros, you know, it was everybody from Expendables 3.
Which has a million guys.
Yeah, it has a lot of guys on there, like 8 of them. But really quickly, I'll go down to just the ones that I've locked, some of them. So you got Rambro,
yeah.
Is the main character. Bronan, Bromando, B.A. Bromac, Brockus, Bro in Black, and Robocop.
That's the best one.
And I don't know how they got the licensing for all this. Maybe it's just vague enough because it's 8-bit. That it doesn't look like them that much, or maybe they just have one movie license or one studio license and get it all from one, but I don't know.
I think you can do, you know, you can do spoofing and stuff. Spoofing doesn't require licensing.
Yeah, as long as it's a, it's not a spoof. But
they might have got something under there under fair use, but yeah. Because it's technically not the real name of the character, and it's exaggerated and it's different a little bit. So yeah, maybe they got away with it.
But there's one character you guys don't know who.
Oh, I was looking them up, and somehow I got away with I didn't see the ones that I haven't unlocked yet. There's probably like 5 or 6 left, but he's not MacGyver, but he's like maybe an off character from the MacGyver series. Like his brother or something? I don't know.
Oh, is he the spoof MacGyver?
MacGruber?
Oh, maybe. That's probably what it is.
Oh, okay. Yeah, MacGruber's SNL character that... Because
he, throws bombs and then throws turkeys.
So it's like a turkey with, dynamite in it.
Oh, then there it is, yeah. The turkey's a little bit better than we thought it was. You throw it out and all the bad guys go to it because they want to eat it or whatever.
Oh, so it's bait. Okay.
Yeah, it's bait.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit better, but he's still terrible. Yeah. And they all have different play styles and not tremendous. At the end of the day, it's still a 2D side scroller, but they each have a grenade and the grenades are all different. And I like the diversity. And I guess it's a knock on it, maybe, or I kind of like it where you have to continuously switch bros.
Yeah.
Every time you get a new extra life, it switches the bro.
And it's randomized, which I really like.
Yeah, it's randomized.
But you can't, it's not a game where you're supposed to put strategy to your bro. You just are supposed to make do with whatever bro you have.
Yeah.
And I kind of like that.
Yeah, because if it didn't do it that way, everybody would pick their favorite bro and just beat the game with that mm-hmm. bro. And, you know, not see all that, all the work that they've put in.
Yeah.
They even got the guys from...
Boondock Saints.
Boondock Saints, yeah, the two brothers and their dad that comes in at the, from part two, which is so crazy. That was awesome.
So which one's your favorite?
I think, I don't know, Bobby, you said Terminator?
Well, I like the Terminator a lot, but also the ones with the shotguns really good. Ash from Evil Dead and Chuck Norris.
Chuck Norris is really good at beating bosses because he calls down airstrikes. And the bosses are usually on the top. But this game is really hard. One hit from anything. And there's explosions going on. We're laughing out loud continuously or every once in a while because just the shit that happens is so random. It's kind of like Spelunky in that way where, yeah. Oh, this hit that and that one flew over there and that exploded and somehow it killed me. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah. So, well, the maps are the same, I've noticed, and the characters are in the same spot and all the bad guys are the same. But there's so many different reactions that can happen. There's all these barrels that can explode. You can light things on fire. You can shoot the ground out. You know, it's got a very destructible environment, which makes for a lot of randomness. And you never know what to expect, and you die in the funniest ways. It's definitely challenging at parts, but it is a lot of fun. Like, it reminds me so much of those old NES games. And I don't know. I feel like a lot of other games try to copy that, but never quite hit the mark.
How much is this game, by the way?
I think retail it's $14.99.
It's on sale right now for $10, and they just came out with a new level or whatever because it's still early access.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and they just came out with a whole new alien art, like Alien from Aliens. You know,
I didn't realize this was still early access.
Yeah,
but I think the hardest part about this game. Yeah, it's still early access. It's been early access for a while, but I think the hardest part about this game is just containing your firepower. Like, you're your own worst enemy. We kill each other.
True.
You know, two people playing at once, we kill each other more often than the enemy kills us.
I can't imagine four players playing this.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to play three at least.
Oh, it would be a clusterfuck, man. Yeah. That would be crazy.
And the one melee guy that has to run up in the front while the three guys are just blowing shit up.
I do like Blade. He's one of the better characters.
He's my favorite.
He moves super fast.
Well, Neo was pretty good.
Neo is pretty cool because he can dodge bullets. He drinks a red pill or whatever, and a cool sound effect. Anyway, it's over the top, super fun. I very much recommend it. I was just playing by myself right now, and it was still fun, so you don't need somebody to play with.
I mean, here's the deal. Play Expendabros. It's free to...
Oh, yeah.
And if you like Expendabros, Broforce is just more of the same. You know, it's more, more of it. So
you think this is okay single player, or this is definitely a multiplayer experience?
I was good either way. I was having fun either way, so...
I haven't played single player yet, but I really did enjoy multiplayer. I don't know if this is a game to play with your girlfriend, but... probably not, but, you know, for people like our age who grew up with games like this, it's awesome.
Yeah, I had a blast.
Very cool.
All right, what else are we talking about? Oh, are we going straight into some highlights?
Yeah, let's talk about it. You guys want to start out?
Sure. I played this little episodic game from Square Enix called Life is Strange. They released the first episode this week or last week. And it kind of got good reviews and people were saying that it was interesting, so I played it. And I was a little torn. We had this conversation last week about character development, and you called me out and said name one because I never play any of these type of games.
Right.
I have an answer now. Tomb Raider is a perfect example of the kind of character development I like.
For sure.
But I was also
great
thinking,
game. Fantastic.
Yeah. What an amazing game.
Yeah.
What an amazing game. I was also thinking about it. RPGs in some respects are character development.
Yeah.
Like that's how you gamify character development.
Sure.
So we'll have some heavily RPG games. But I'm more interested in like seeing real emotion and stuff. And so this game has some of that. You basically play this girl that finds out she can kind of reverse time. And now she's in high school and dealing with some high school stuff. But then there's like kind of a darker overarching thing with a missing girl. So it's kind of high school, but it's got some darker undertones that look like they're going to expand more out in the later episodes.
It looked very childish. From when I was walking by, you know, it was like, get out of my room. Oh, my God, I told you not to come in here. I was like, oh, my God, what is he playing?
Yeah, so it's high school, but I don't know. I enjoyed it. This is a little too much focused on the character and story and not enough on the game. Although I felt like I was playing more of a game than like the Telltale games, which are literally you know, story is that you make some choices.
Right.
And the gameplay that is in there, most people don't want to do. They just want to get to the story, you know? So it wasn't that. So I enjoyed it. I don't know if it's worth the money for the episodes altogether. Maybe if they're on sale or if you get a bundle pack.
Is it a Japanese game?
It's a Square Enix game.
Oh, right.
I did experience some pop-in, which I didn't like. But
what are the graphics like on this game?
They're okay. They do some cool things, like, so you examine, like, pictures and whatever, and so they'll bring it up, you know, and all the time they bring it up, they've kind of got this cool little art style with them, so...
I'll have to look at some screenshots or some
gameplay. It's okay. It's not, like, amazing, but it's not terrible.
Well, all I can picture in my head is a visual novel, and...
No, it's like a 3D...
You're okay. Moving around.
Yeah, you're moving around.
Okay, so it's like a 3D adventure game. You're walking around, you're doing stuff.
3D adventure game, there's...
What's the view, though? It's fixed camera angles, aren't they?
No. It's behind you.
Oh, is it?
It's behind you as you're walking around. But then they do a lot of... There's a lot of, like, cut scenes and, you know, fixed camera kind of FMVs and stuff.
So can't recommend it, huh?
Towards
the end, it was starting to look a little interesting when the ship started going down.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I don't... No, if it's worth the money.
Yeah.
So,
did any of the high school shit matter when the real shit ended up happening at the end? You know what I mean?
So it's a story that you're going through. So you have to, like, for example, you need to get to your friend, and he's asking for a flash drive. So you go into your room to get it, and you find out another girl borrowed the flash drive. So you have to go and get it from her, but she's locked in her room because her friend thinks she was sexting her boyfriend, and so you gotta like solve that little high school dilemma. But it was kind of cool. So they're supposed to be 18, but they're swearing left and right. They use all sorts of like slang that actually is used now. So I kind of thought that was cool that it's a present thing. Like,
yeah, they're talking about flash drives.
Like, it's not something that was. The story or the dialogue was not written by somebody in their 40s.
Yeah,
this is somebody our age.
It sounds like they had
in touch.
Not just a translator, but they had a cultural translator, which is important when because usually the Japanese, like we just Bobby and I just watched the 5 worst lines in video gaming or whatever, and they're all Japanese.
Like all your base are belong to us.
That was number one.
Yeah. Okay.
I can't believe they didn't bring up Shenmue in that. In that top 5, that was a game for the Sega Dreamcast, and they had some really bad translations there. But yeah, that sounds terrible, Chad. Yeah. I don't know about that.
Actually, Bobby, I think
maybe I would,
because it's kind of like a point and click adventure where you're trying to like figure out you're having to look around and search for the right thing that you're supposed to use and do different dialogues.
So does it have puzzles, or is it just like searching?
So like you'll ask a question to somebody. And then they'll, like, say you're an idiot, the answer is this, and then you'll, like, reverse time and ask the same question again, and now you have the answer. So sometimes you have to figure out where the answer is.
Trial of elimination?
Sort of. Yeah, okay. And or another time, like, you pull something off the shelves and it breaks everything, and you see what you want to see, and then you reverse time so it's not broken. But you got to kind of do it on the fly. And it has choices, just like Walking Dead.
So it's just got like a Control Z built into it.
Exactly.
You mess anything up. It's like Adam Sandler in that movie Click.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like Walking Dead, where choices that you make are going to influence the story later on and stuff. So,
Well, it's interesting what you said. What interests me most out of everything that you said is the characters. Not necessarily the characters, but them.
Sexting.
18-year-old
sexting.
18-year-old sexting, yeah. I mean, that, but getting characters to be believable is such a hard thing to do in video games sometimes. And the one example that I can think of that really impressed me was Far Cry 3. I don't know why, but the characters in that seem totally realistic to me. Like, these seem like a bunch of rich, spoiled kids who like to party a lot and just went to a tropical island and got into some shit. Like, I don't know why, but for some reason that came across as very real to me. And you don't see that, especially, like you said, with young people.
Yeah.
Like it feels like they always miss the mark with that.
Yeah, and this one, like I said, it felt... There was at times where I felt like, okay, this isn't really exactly what I think an 18-year-old would say, but a lot of times
I mean, do we know what 18-year-olds would say, though?
I think
I'd be surprised. Yeah. The mouth on those kids.
Anyways, what else are we talking about?
Yeah, who played a Hato boyfriend?
Yeah.
That'd be a good one to follow up with this. Yeah. I didn't really play it, but I wanted to bring it up because I've been meaning to get to this for a while. Someone even mentioned it, probably as a joke, on our discussion forum for games that we should play and talk about.
It's on the Humble Bundle.
Yeah, that's where I got it from.
Oh, you did get it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, they had a Valentine's Day special.
So we can play it on the Family Share.
Yeah, oh, yeah, you guys can check it out. But were you guys remember, I think Chad was here when I played Sakura Spirit several months ago. It was like my first experience with a visual novel.
Visual novel, yeah.
Yeah, and it was terrible.
I think I was there for that one.
Yeah, you might have been. I think you weren't on that episode.
They were Fox Ladies?
No. Fox Ladies, isn't it?
Okay. I know the pigeon one. I was there for the pigeon dating sim.
Well, that's what we're talking about right now.
Oh, okay.
So you are here, yes.
Yeah.
I thought we've talked about this before.
No. None of us have ever played it, but I started playing it, and right off the bat, I'm like, yep, this is another Japanese visual novel. It's exactly like Sakura Spirit, except, you know, instead of scantily clad women that are half fox, it's birds. Although I think the main character is a girl, like you play as a girl, and I don't know, you're hooking up with pigeons, and the thing, I mean,
define hooking up with pigeons.
I don't know. I didn't make it that far into the game. I very quickly turned it off.
Pecking like, you
know
the badge? What? Is that not, what's going on?
Maybe that's what they call it. I don't know. But I was not having this game. I was like, no, this is bullshit. I'm not
for the birds
playing this. No, just it was just. Okay. Looking like it was going to be exactly like Sakura Spirit. There's a fast forward button in these games where you can skip through all the dialogue and go to like where you make decisions. In Sakura Spirit, there's only one decision you made and it had no bearing at all on the story. In this one, I think there's a little more play to it, but these really aren't games and they really aren't even, they aren't even like The Walking Dead where it's like interactive storytelling. It's almost just like reading a book, like a comic book.
Like a visual novel?
Yes.
Is that kind of what it would
be
like?
Well, that's exactly what it is.
Okay.
So you're not going to go back to this?
I don't think so.
Well, you couldn't have but thought that it was going to be good. Nobody said it was good. It was just crazy, right?
That's what people say. For some reason, I don't know why, but I didn't think it was going to be like this. I thought there was going to be some other mechanics, like an actual game there. I don't know why, but for some reason, I assumed that. And I was wrong.
is this a thing that people can be attracted to pigeons? Is this like
Tesla fell in love with a pigeon at the end of his life? But he was, you know, he was going crazy and stuff. But yeah,
like
I don't know.
Like fell in love with a pigeon.
Wants to marry it.
Yeah,
wants to
yeah.
have sex with it.
Uh huh. He said he has some famous quote. It's like all this time I spent with like electricity and the perfect. Everything I'll ever need is in this pigeon, or whatever. I don't know, man. It's
wow. Maybe he was speaking metaphorically. I don't know.
No, he went crazy and he fell in love with the pigeon.
Okay,
well, that's where we got this game from, apparently.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I feel like this is almost a trend, though, and this is what worries me. These games that are just one-note games, like they're kind of stupid and silly, and people leave good reviews that are like sarcastic or witty or funny on Steam, and then they end up getting somewhat decent ratings in the Steam community, but it's not really representative of the actual game.
This is like the potato salad on
Kickstarter.
Yeah, it's just like it's so crazy that it or that one guy that was on American Idol, that Asian kid that couldn't sing that he got famous, you know, there's sometimes you have these aberrations that just pop out. So I played Morheim, City of the Dam. I said it looks sweet, and it does look sweet, and that's about all it does. So the concept is there, the visuals are there, the gameplay is kind of there. Basically, you have four factions. They're all in one city, and I think you fight two at a time. You can only fight two. I don't know if you can have a third faction. But here's the thing. I've played three full games, and I've lost every time, and I don't know why. I was winning. I had killed more of their guys than they had of mine, and I just lost. I don't know if it's a bug I looked at all the win conditions. I have no idea what's going on. But it was fun. So you're in this city, and it's not like these other turn-based tactical games where you could pretty much see all the players on the board in one area. This is like a pretty big area, and you have to like jump down from here and then go around this building. And if nobody has line of sight of your guys, has line of sight on somebody, they're not visible on the map to the enemy. So you can actually sneak around people in a top-down turn-based strategy, which is...
They've got different. Fog of War, basically.
They've got Fog of War, yeah, pretty okay. much. But there's so many buildings that it's everywhere. You can gotcha. Sneak up on people. It's really old-school RPG where... It's like a top-down table game. So there's a lot of roles going on, right?
Turn-based, though?
Turn-based, yeah. So every time you jump down from a ledge, there's a die rolled. Not a real die, but the computer yeah. does it. And you have a chance of fucking up when you do that. Everything you do has a chance, this or that. Like I had this... I was playing as the rat people. I don't know what they're called. And... There's a giant rat that they have. And four turns in a row, I was doing really poorly. Four turns in a row, he failed a stupidity check. He's just like, and then his turn was over, right? And then I was looking at one of my other rats and looking through all their abilities. They all have so many abilities, and all their classes are not named. They're all weird classes. Like, each faction has different names for the same classes, so you don't know exactly who's who. So you have to open up their abilities, look through all their abilities, and see if there's something that you like there, and then try to use it. Okay, how am I going to use it? But it's turn-based, so you can take time. Anyway, one guy had like an inspire or guidance. That's what it was. So I put him next to the fat dude. Yeah, the fat dude. Pointed at where I wanted him to go. He's like, okay. Goes and kills four dudes in one turn. It was so funny, dude. He's like, ooh. It's like, you know, your typical oof. And then I lost. I don't know what's going on. So
like, it's not like you get to the end of the game and everybody's dead. Mm-mm. You just have a certain amount of
time. You win by having more, you rout the other team, right?
Oh, okay.
So you make them lose morale by getting critical strikes and knocking their guys out. So they have... Okay, so this is how the game, I think, what they're headed towards. It's not there yet. So you have your band of merry guys, right? Actually, everybody's pretty dark. There's a chick team, too. And so you have, it's kind of like an RPG where you go into this town and there's loot in the town on this battlefield. So you have to not just loot stuff, but also fight the other people, which is going to be other people online, right?
Yeah.
And they're doing the same thing, and you're both trying to level up by killing other dudes and not get your guys killed, because if they get killed, they get killed, but they can get incapacitated, and then you can lose and you can pull out and save your dudes.
Okay.
But I think overall you're just trying to get gear and get XP by playing other people, but you are putting yourself at risk every time you play.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So to me, it sounds like one, this game's for the hardcore. If you didn't play the tabletop more time, you're pretty much at a strong disadvantage until you kind of get up to speed.
It's a lot. Maybe I'm making it sound harder than it is. It's not harder. It's just not all there. What's interesting, it kind of has that whole thing where, you know, when you're playing chess, there's that rule where you don't actually move until you let go of the piece. You can do that too. You can run around, do all your moves, see exactly what would be most beneficial. But you could go back to your own place and never take the turn if you want. You could just pass your turn. So that's pretty interesting.
I wish they'd put that in more games like Divinity.
Yeah, I know. And then the points, the action points, there's two types of action points. There's like aggressive ones and tactical ones. So you can attack and then put yourself in parry stance and then stuff like that. But it's
gotcha.
I would say the two best things about this game is the looks are really sweet. And second of all, it does a really good job of anticipating what you want to do and just puts that on left click. Like, most likely, the thing that you're most likely going to want to do is on left click. So you're constantly just walking places and left clicking. It's rare that, unless you want to use one of their abilities and you open up this chart and graphs and you're just like, wow. But it's very, very early. All you could do is skirmish against, I think, the AI right now. You might be able to play online, but...
Is it early access?
It is very early.
So the other thing that is turn-based, especially a game like this where it sounds like your turn could be 30 minutes. Like, how are they going to do a...
No, not really, because, well, there's an option to put a timer on on turns, but it goes back and forth. So one dude, then one dude.
Oh, okay.
Or it actually depends on initiative, right? So three of your dudes could go, then two of theirs, and then it goes back and forth like that.
Okay, so it's not side, then side, then side, side. It's everybody's got their own initiative.
That would take, you know, probably, you know, 5 minutes to move an entire team. Yeah, you're talking about 15 dudes, I would say, on your team.
Interesting side note, you brought up Divinity. Nothing is funnier than watching Emilio try to click attack on a dude and actually clicking next to the dude.
And just walk right by him.
And walk right up to him. Oh, God! God damn it! Fuck!
You know what I've done, I've gotten in the habit of doing is when I misclick like that, and it's very easy to do, and it's not really your fault sometimes because the character you're trying to target will sway back and forth or move, or maybe they'll yawn or they'll do something where they'll move out of the area that your mouse is right when you click, and then
they got jukes.
Yeah, they juke you pretty much. And, you'll walk right up next to him. So what you can do is hit spacebar, and that immediately ends your turn and saves all your action points. You lose your entire turn with that character, but you don't just plant yourself right in front of their face.
Face planting them?
Yeah. What's worse is that happens all the time with ranged characters, like archers, the people who you do not want right there in front of the enemy, like in melee distance. Yeah.
So just to wrap it up real quick, it is a Game Workshop game. I wasn't sure last week. So they don't have the best track record as far as video games go. But, they have one of the richest backstories. You know, they got tons and tons and tons of story.
And a huge following.
The camera angles are all over the place. That's probably the worst part of this game right now. That and I don't know why I'm losing. I really think it's a bug. And I can't recommend it right now. But,
how much was this?
I think it's $19.99.
I want to say it was $20.
Okay.
Yeah. And so I'd wait on it, even though turn-based. And you know what? It's weird. I'm not getting the tactical turn-based stuff that I want out of this. You know how, like, when you put yourself on a side of somebody, you want to get that flank? Or if you get it behind, you want to get that backstab? It doesn't let you. He'll always turn towards your dude. So there's no benefit for surrounding a guy. Well, there is in that you get three attacks. So, I don't know. I'll play it more, and we'll see where it goes.
Okay.
All right, cool. So, Smite Season 2, we talked about that last week a little bit, but it's officially being used.
Yeah, right, it's officially out. They've got some... If you play Smite on their Smite YouTube channel, they have some videos that go over god changes, map changes, season changes, and item changes. And if you're into Smite and you play it on a regular basis, I highly recommend going looking at them, because it'll tell you the new items, how items have changed, how the gods have changed, how the map is different, and everything that you kind of need to know.
Is that the video where Drybear is talking to the other two dudes on like a couch? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the item one in particular is like almost 40 minutes going through all the new items and stuff, but like crucial to know just how items are different and which items are now good and everything.
Have you played on the Conquest map?
I have not played the Conquest yet.
I just went in on practice just to look around. It's very pretty.
It is pretty.
Very pretty. Yeah.
But I'm worried with my shitty PC that I'm going to get slowdown.
What's cool, I mean, it seems like such a small thing, but like, I was running around and I ran up to the Gold Fury, and she's like counting her money now, you know? And when you get close, she turns around and she gets like aggressive, like, you're going to come at me? And her eyes follow you.
That's
like
cool.
Wherever. And all the jungle camps do that. Like, whatever, all those ogres and stuff. they're kind of like talking to each other and shit, and whenever you come close, they get aggressive and they'll follow you wherever you go. It's really cool.
Yeah.
If you haven't played MOBAs, I would highly suggest you jump in. Like, what's the big deal? Jump in right now, because the old players don't even know exactly what's going on. Mm-hmm. Now is a pretty everybody knows all the changes, but they don't know what the impact's going to be.
Yeah.
So, and it's been streamlined for new players. So, yeah, now is the time.
Yeah, you only got about 50 or 60 gods to learn.
Yeah. Fuck it.
Yeah, and for a new player, I think I would suggest that you stick to one god.
Yeah.
Or get one of each, right? So four gods. Get yourself a warrior, a guardian, a mage,
and
a hunter. And then learn four.
And an assassin, I guess, would be the fifth
class. Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot.
Just pick up Kukulkan, sit in the back, throw your tornadoes around, make it easy on everybody.
Yeah.
Or Thor. I think Thor is the best. I mean, there's... Anyways.
Thor's easy to pick up, and there's
super strong.
Yeah.
Tournament worthy still to this day.
Yep.
So
it's awesome. Play it. Yep. Except for Bobby won't play it.
I don't know why, but I can't bring myself back to playing that game.
Because you know how your life will be over at that point.
Yeah. I don't know. Well, that's how it was with World of Warcraft. I would come back and play it, and each time I came back, it was shorter and shorter.
I mean, until... I did the same thing.
Yeah.
And with what?
With WoW.
Oh, yeah.
Quit for a while, come back, yeah. And then it just... I think I've hit that point with Smite where I'm just completely over it. MOBAs in general, really. But I'll tell you what I have been playing is Doom 3 BFG Edition. Started playing this because I've had this game forever, never beat it. I've had this game since it came out in 2004, and I've never beat it. And I was looking at that list that Team Tom posted in our Steam group, the discussion forums about all the games that he's been checking off his list. He's been pretty busy getting games done. And one of those was Doom 3 BFG Edition. I was like, damn, I got to get to that one.
What makes it BFG Edition?
They have redone the textures, the lighting, the rendering. They've added support for 3D, which doesn't work very well because it uses OpenGL, and the NVIDIA 3D Vision works with DirectX. OpenGL just is not that great. Well, actually, I don't want to say it's not that great, but I haven't had good experiences with it. I can't get VSync to work with it on other games like Rage, but I don't like it as much. But you can play it in high resolution now, and it looks a lot better. And they've changed a few things. One thing I didn't like, one of the key things about this game, Doom 3, if you remember, was you had to pull out your flashlight. It was a very dark game. They're showing off their lighting in this game a lot.
You got the flashlight mod?
It's the duct tape mod. No, it automatically comes in the BFG edition.
So they thought it was...
Well, there was a lot of people that complained about it. Like,
I don't know. The way I look at it, that was the intention. You have to pick between your gun and your flashlight. Like, that's a huge deal.
That's true, but I think people want it to make sense logistically, too.
I understand. We're scared of monsters.
I understand why it works from a game mechanic standpoint, but it also has to make sense from just a world standpoint. Unless you make something to make it different, then
I don't know. I feel pretty strongly about this one because there was times where like the only way I could see was from the muzzle flash from my shotgun. How cool is that?
I totally agree with you.
Yeah,
but
it doesn't make
sense. So, Chad, are you saying it's not realistic?
I'm saying they created a world that we're supposed to believe in, and then they threw in this thing that is unbelievable. So
in our believable world, this guy's carrying 10 guns and a chainsaw and ammunition for each of them.
Yeah, he's carrying all that shit and he can't attach a flashlight to his gun?
Well, in the game, I looked in a mirror. In the bathrooms, you can look in the mirror and see your character. And I flickered the flashlight on and off, and it's actually attached to your chest. It's not a flashlight that you're holding. Even though if you pull the flashlight out... Well, actually, no, you don't see. Originally, you would see yourself hold the flashlight, and you could even hit monsters with it. You could use it as a melee weapon. But in this, it's actually attached to your bulletproof vest or your marine outfit, and it just shines right in front of you, which makes sense now once I saw that, because when you pull the flashlight out in this game, it doesn't look like you're holding it. Like, the light does not come from down below where your hand would be. It comes from your chest. So I don't know. I agree with Amelia, though. I don't think they should have made this change. A lot of people did use the duct tape mod when this game came out. But having played both the game with and without this, I never played it with this originally. But now this is my first time doing it. Changes the game completely. It's not nearly as hard. It's not nearly as scary. And it changes the encounters. The imps in the game, they'll throw fireballs at you, and that will light up the room and also give away their position. So a lot of your encounters with them is them throwing a fireball, and once you see the fireball, you know where they're at, so you start shooting at them and trying to dodge the fireball. And you do that over and over again until they're dead. Sometimes you don't even know if you've killed them because it's dark. You think they fell and disintegrated, but you're not quite sure. So it just takes away a lot of that. You have to move a lot slower. You have to be a lot more methodical and careful when you're playing. It's a different game.
The game was designed from the ground up to be dark. So
yeah, and that's exactly true. I mean, this when this game came out in 2004, it was probably the best looking game we'd ever seen.
Oh yeah,
and they specifically made it dark and scary to show off a lot of the way the lights worked, like shadows and bouncing off of objects and the fireballs. Like, it was all done just for, you know, to show off the engine, as well as create a really immersive experience. And having the flashlight on and just like racing through the game just isn't quite the same experience. But it's still a good game, but maybe not so much by today's standards. And I got to thinking about that. Like, when we say a game's dated or outdated or old, usually we think of graphics, mm-hmm. right?
Or but, feel. I think the feel is...
Yeah, like the mechanics or the controls of the game.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because a lot of times there are games that use like the arrow keys for moving around, like, you know, who does that? But what I noticed about this game is that games can also be outdated just in, like, design and concept, too. Like, this game was really good back in the day. It was designed well. The levels were designed well. But playing it now, I'm like, this is really repetitive. It's kind of boring. It's very, I don't want to say it's linear, like that's a bad thing, but it's just, I feel like I'm on like Dead Space. Same problem I had with Dead Space. I played 1 and 2 all the way through, couldn't tell you a thing about that game because it was just so generic. Like, it was just a dimly lit, bloody spacecraft that I was wandering
around. He's actually
around.
Getting scared and can't actually finish him.
Yeah, that's what that is.
No, I'm actually further in this game than I've ever been. I'm probably about 2/3 of the way through the game. I didn't even realize you go to hell in this game. There's three levels you go to hell and like fight demons there that. And then you come back. I never even made it that far back in the day.
And there's teleporters in there, right?
Yeah.
And, oh, who's the last guy?
Is it the Cyber Demon?
I think I did beat it, because I remember I made it to hell, so that's at the very end.
Yeah, well, I think you come back from hell, and then you go to... I think the story is they found some weird device. The story is, like, super similar to Dead Space, too. So, I don't know. Playing it now in, like, today's
don't you mean
environment...
Dead Space is super similar to this one, yeah. since it came out first?
Yeah. That's true, but I played Dead Space first, so, I mean, that's how I see it. But nevertheless, it is still a really good game, and the one thing that I really like about the game that I think it does so well is the sound. Like, the sound is just... The sound of the guns... the sound of the demons, obviously you need to have good sound in a scary game, but like the machine gun just has this really sharp, like, tink, tink, tink sound that just, you know, it sounds like a nail gun or something. I don't know why, but for some reason the guns just sound really good to me.
Hmm. Did you guys read that article that I sent to you guys about what makes a gun good in a game?
I did read some of that.
Yeah. Evan Lottie was just talking about how, like, it's a whole combination of things that makes a gun good. It's not just the feel. Or, you know, mm-hmm. people just say the feel or, you know, a shotgun can... You know, a gun has feel, but then it also has all this context to it. Like, an op, right, in CSGO, super loud. It's super expensive. It's like everybody knows where it is. And if somebody comes over and kills him and takes it, that's like a big shift in the game. For that team.
Yeah.
You know? And so, it's just iconic. And it doesn't even, this is maybe one of the most iconic games ever, or guns ever, yet it's just a green square with a barrel poking out, you know? So there's a lot to,
I think like the most popular game or the most popular gun I hear about is the railgun from Quake. Like, a lot of people say, like, oh, that was the best gun ever.
Which one's the railgun? Is that the one that...
It's like a laser beam, right? Mm-hmm.
What was the nail gun? Who had the nail gun that could actually nail people onto the walls and stuff?
Well, they did... Oh, that was in Painkiller and in Fear. I think Painkiller was the first game to do that.
Okay.
Where you could like crucify people to the wall. That was
like when Ragdoll just was starting to come out and stuff.
Oh, you could do that in Half-Life 2 as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with the bolts and the crossbow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Dick Nick, actually, in CSGO, he got a drop somehow. I don't know how drops work in CSGO, but he got a pistol, and he sold it for $350 or $375 on Steam.
Yeah.
And so...
Wouldn't it be a skin, though?
I don't know what it is.
I think they just actually sell skins.
He told me what it was, but I don't have it in front of me. But he said it was like medium grade or like barely worn or something was the condition of it. And I think maybe
because those can deteriorate in condition.
Yeah. So it was like, it wasn't pristine or anything. It was like somewhere or something.
I wonder if you can repair them or something.
But how crazy is that, huh?
Yeah, well, that's the biggest selling items, I think.
Weren't we talking about this last week, about the Steam workshop?
As far as costs go, I think they have the highest costs. Steam is banning tons of their players. They've been cheating. Have you guys heard about this? They've been fixing their games. So they would bet a bunch of money and then throw games. And then, you know, but they
found them out. In CSGO Lounge?
I don't know how they've been doing it, but a lot of people got banned from competitive play.
I heard a little bit about that. Dude, the whole competitive Counter-Strike scene is just shady as hell, I'm sorry to say. Like, it's really unfortunate. It's almost kind of hard to, like, take it seriously or have hope that it will become something bigger, because it's just, when you have that much cheating and that much...
it hurts the movement overall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's hard to recover from that.
Yeah, it's hard to say, hey, we're legitimate when you're not being legitimate.
I think the genre contributes to that, because the first-person genre, more than I think like an MMO or a MOBA or something else, you tend to skew younger, you tend to skew more like, aggressive, griefing. People tend to just grief more. I think it just, the type of person that will cheat, I think, is the type of person that plays FPSs, you know? Like, it's just goes hand in hand.
Well, Counter-Strike,
down the gauntlet.
Counter-Strike is like the home of all that. If you hear wall hacks or aimbots, the first thing you think of is like Counter-Strike 1.6 or whatever. Like, that's where it all originated from. Well, it's in their history. It's part of their history.
Is it the biggest first-person shooter on the computer?
You think Counter-Strike? Probably.
Probably, yeah.
So,
it seems to be getting bigger too.
Yeah,
which is interesting.
Yeah, I need to pick up Global Offensive
but
at some point.
You got
to
take away the ability for people to cheat, because if there is a way, they will do it.
Yeah,
it's just.
I think it's similar to everything else. Like, it's impossible to remove everything.
Well, look at MOBAs. Nobody ever says anything about cheating in MOBAs.
Well, they don't give away the source code to MOBAs, and there's not like a workshop for Smite or Dota. Is there a Smite or a Dota workshop? I don't know.
No.
But CSGO is like made to be modded, so it's very easy to get malicious with that.
Because the source is, I mean, it's the source engine. It's open by its own default.
Speaking of Counter-Strike, a coworker of mine that I work with a lot, he... After 10 years or whatever, he's gotten a PC up and running.
Do I know?
Ron. Okay. My coworker, Ron. He's gotten it up because he wants to start streaming, but he's created a PC now, and he asked me what games he should get. He knows that I play Smite, and so he wants to give Smite a try, but outside of that, it's not a beast rig. It's probably as good as the rig that I have in my room.
After 10 years, he built something like yours?
Well,
he could have won 10 years ago and did that.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. What do you guys have a recommendation? So he...
Hearthstone. I mean, like, it's one of the biggest streaming games.
He's seen me play it, and I don't think he has any interest. He's more of a... He's more of a bro than a gamer.
Hmm.
So...
Well, is he looking just for streaming purposes, or is he actually looking for a good game to play?
He now has a computer, so he asked me what are good computer games for him to play.
Why is streaming the what's pulling him into it.
So, Mortal Kombat X is coming out next month.
Right.
And he really wants to stream Mortal Kombat X.
Is he good?
He thinks he is. We'll put it that way.
You know what? I'm sure he'll get some viewers too, because you know not everybody's going to have that game. People are going to be interested into it.
If you get it on opening day, like when it first comes out, a lot of people, you got a good chance of getting some viewers.
And if you're entertaining, you might be able to keep them.
Yeah.
Get a webcam.
Yeah. Does he have big tits?
No, he could put a picture of somebody else up. Do you guys have any suggestions on
if you like
more of a bro than a gamer?
Well, it sounds like he likes fighting games.
Fighting games, first-person shooters. He loves...
a lot of people stream Street Fighter.
Like Smash Bros. He was playing Smash Bros. A lot.
I know very little about fighting games. Injustice, Gods Among Us, maybe?
He's already played that.
Okay.
I was thinking for stuff that were specific for PC.
I would probably, for him, would look up things that people are streaming a lot. Like Binding of Isaac's really big for streaming.
Yeah.
I should start streaming.
I'm going to suggest that's an easy one to Counter-Strike Go, I think, just because he loves first-person shooters.
Yeah, that'd be a good one. But you got to...
Nobody wants to watch somebody learn Counter-Strike Go, though.
Well, he's not just learning for
streaming. God damn it, motherfucker! God damn it! I didn't even see that guy! Wall hacks!
Well, a lot of streamers are, chicks getting attention for obvious reasons. But then a lot of streamers are also, like, professional players, too. But it's hard to stream like one of these really popular games and get a lot of viewers because there's so many other people streaming the exact same thing.
Did I say this last week or maybe I told somebody at work? I said you either have to be a hot chick, a professional gamer, or funny, and usually it takes more than one of those to be popular streaming. You know, like it's a
combination
really,
of any one of those things. Yeah, I'm all three. So goddamn, what am
seriously.
I doing? Bobby didn't even laugh at that.
He's still mad about us talking about Smite, I think.
I'm used to that by now.
So, should we get into news?
Sure.
Yeah, let's talk about some news.
So, we actually talked about this 3 weeks ago, but it kind of got deleted. But it is very important. I mean, what percentage of us are playing on Windows right now? Of us right here, 100% of the podcast, nobody likes to talk about it, but it is the backbone of PC gaming.
Yeah.
You could try on Linux, but you're not going to get the library. You could play on a Mac, you're not going to get the library. It's also that other stuff. Is it pushing the boundaries that just Windows, if somebody's working on hardware, it's to be compatible with the Windows operating system. It just is.
Yeah.
So this is just one of those things we have to disagree with. So at least they're headed in the right direction, though. So they're going to give Windows 10 away for free. If you have Windows...
Microtransactions, though. Every week you got to pay $1.
No.
Oh, okay.
Well, yeah, if you want to be able to use your keyboard. Yeah. So if you have
you want to use a mouse? That's 50 cents extra.
If you own a legit copy of 7 or 8, you can within the first year, you can upgrade to 10 for free. Also, if you buy any of the devices, you don't have to, like Dell will charge you $50 for right now. I believe that comes with the hardware now.
Hmm.
And, like, you guys know what the Raspberry Pi is?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, it's like the
little tiny computer.
$35 computer.
Yeah, yeah. That's going to come with... It's $35. It's going to come with Windows 10.
Hmm.
So they're just getting it out there. And, Bobby, you made a good point that Apple's been doing this for years, right? They never charge.
Yeah, they've always given away their operating system. I mean, sometimes they will charge like $20 in the store for it, but for the newer ones.
The Apple thing is, though, you're buying an Apple PC. Like Windows,
they make their money off
Windows
of
doesn't sell a Windows PC. I mean, do they? Or maybe
No. Windows makes software, and their biggest cash cow is their operating system. Apple sells hardware. They sell the whole package. But Windows really wants to, or Microsoft wants to keep people in that Windows ecosystem. You know, they've been losing ground to Apple and I guess even Android now for a little while. So
how are they making money then?
I mean, the more users you have, the more users you can bleed, right? For whatever. So I think they're just going to, whatever. Yeah, maybe it is going to be microtransactions. But at the end of the day, they can tell their shareholders that X percentage of computers have our operating system on it, right? And through there, you can do your advertising or whatever the fuck you want.
Well, there actually is a technical preview of Windows 10 out right now. I haven't got it. I should actually get that and load it up in a virtual machine just to see it. But I got a pretty good idea of what it's going to be. So far, from what I hear, it's going to be great. Like, everybody seems to really like it.
Well, they're good every other time, right? So
I think... I don't know. I think Windows should go the other way. Charge $500 or whatever. Because you could charge me $500, I'm still going to pay the $500 instead of go to Apple or something else.
I don't know, man.
Like,
$500.
What they should be doing, I mean, if I was them, you got to get rid of all these guys that are pirating them, because that's where they're losing all their money.
Yeah.
If you charge $25 instead of $100, you get a lot less pirators.
Well, let's just see how it plays out. So far, it's looking like it's going to be a good operating system. It's going to be free. That's good, too. On top of that, they're going again for this whole cross-platform thing. So it's just going to be Windows 10 on your phone, on your tablet, on your PC, Windows 10. No Windows Mobile or anything like that. It's just all... So that's good. Hopefully that'll work out for them as well. But the big thing that I'm not even looking at Oculus right now, because the HoloLens looks awesome. I think everybody in the world has seen this video of the tech demo and the overall commercial for it. Chad seems to think that it won't be
highly pessimistic.
He doesn't even think it's going to come out in the next 10 years.
Well, they said, they're like, this is going to be out, you know, somewhere around with Windows 10 this year. And I think that's bullshit. Maximum PC finally started doing their podcast again. And one of the guys on there got to try it out. And the version that he tried out was not the wireless version that you see in all the TV ads. But he said it was like strapping on a whole unit with a vest and wires coming out the back, and this whole room filled with wires. It was like quite an ordeal, and like he couldn't move around too much. He had to be very careful with it just so it would work properly.
How long ago was that, you know?
This is when the tech demo came out, like, what, 3 weeks ago?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Because I had somebody was at Google, and they were using Magic Leap, which is their version of the same thing. And they say it's absolutely incredible, and it's, you're seeing 3D things in real space. So I don't know whose version is going to be better. But if you have to put on glasses in order to see holograms, they're still holograms, because I mean, it still counts, because the holograms aren't real either way. Right? It doesn't make them any more real if you take them off, take your glasses off. They're still holograms. You can pass the hat, give more glasses to more.
So you're talking about the debate, is this augmented reality or is this
holograms? This is definitely augmented reality, because it's an individual's augmented reality. A hologram is something that we all can see, even though it's not real, but we'd all sit there and see it.
What if we both have the glasses on?
If everybody in the room had glasses on, maybe I'll give you a hologram, but this is augmented reality.
I think maybe in 5 years... five people can work on a fake car that's just floating above them and just design the thing.
A hologram is a three-dimensional object,
right?
To me. Yep. Like, it's in space, it's a three-dimensional object, but you can walk through it.
Right.
This is not what this is doing.
I think we need to get caught up in nomenclature. It is what it is. We don't need
He's all hung up on this hologram.
Well, no, a lot
thing.
Of people are arguing, like, really this is augmented reality. This is not hologram. And it's like, who gives a fuck, dude? Call it whatever you want.
Is it awesome or not awesome?
No, it looks
great.
It's
got a potential. But I am highly pessimistic. I don't know. This is still marketing speak. At this point, we're still at the marketing speak thing. And it never delivers on what the marketing speak tells you.
Although more and more I'm starting to take Bobby's approach on things, where he's like, until it's at the shelf on Walmart, or at Walmart, I don't care.
Yeah.
You know, not Walmart, but wherever.
Well, you know, it's like I've been looking around on Amazon for possibly a new video card, monitor, headset. Got a lot of Amazon credit right now. But I'm looking into 4K monitors, and there's a new one that Acer's got coming out, hopefully this month. And I was just thinking, like, 4K, we were talking about this 2 or 3 years ago. We're like, oh, sweet, 4K, it's the next big thing. And here I am, like, that was 2012. Here I am 3 years later, finally ready to actually buy one that meets my specific needs. Like, okay, it's 2560 by 1440, it's G-Sync, it's 120 hertz, it's IPS, it's everything that I want. Right. Okay, finally it's here. Like, the one that I want, this Acer one that's coming out. Originally, I was going to go with that Asus ROG Swift. But
how much is the one you're looking at?
It doesn't have a price yet. It's not out. But the ROG Swift is $800, and that's a TN panel.
How big?
27 inches.
Okay.
But TN panels, they don't have as good color, brightness, viewing angle as IPS. I've had an IPS before, and they are really nice. So if I can get one that has G-Sync, that has the high refresh rate, and that has that higher resolution all in an IPS panel, I'm gonna wait a couple more weeks or a month for that.
What do you think of screens that were just ripped from a laptop and then put on a post like Chad's?
If it works.
It's on a popsicle stick.
If it works. I've gotten very picky with my hardware over the years, but you can game on anything.
You know I'm using your old monitor,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Okay. But the point I'm trying to make is, like, 2.5, 3 years later, I'm finally at the point where the product that I want is available to me that I can, well, technically it's not, but they're saying February it's going to be out. I'm checking, like, every damn day.
I want to say that the first time that I said or read 4K was last year.
Really?
Yeah. A year away.
Yeah, at CES, it was making a big deal, I think, in 2012. Mm. And they're talking about it being the next big thing. But the big problem we have with that is you got to have huge graphic cards to push those pixels now too.
Yep.
Yeah.
So,
question, Bobby. I was reading something online.
What, I can't answer?
Maybe you're looking up at this stuff too. I heard something about four gigs of RAM is actually 3.5 on some of these games.
On the 970.
Yeah. So, give me a breakdown on that.
Yeah, I can answer that.
Thank you.
Yeah, the GTX 970, which is like everybody's...
The NVIDIA one, right?
Yeah, the NVIDIA one, which was like everybody's sweetheart. It's like the one that they're like, this is the best gaming card ever, you know, for the price. Apparently, it only has 3.5 gigs. I mean, if you want to get into the technical details, read an article on someone who knows what they're talking about. Technically, what it is they split off half a gig of the RAM, and it only, if it has to use that, then it slows down drastically. So a lot of people that have used this card in SLI with 4K displays, like trying to do huge resolutions, have ran into this super slowdown once they start using that extra bit of memory there.
But if you're going for the super high-end, you're not grabbing this card anyway, right?
Some people are going for 2 970s instead of 1 980. So, right. Yeah, it's kind of like if you're going to do 4K, you know, don't get 2 270s. You know, spend a little bit more money on your graphics card. A lot more, I should say. These cards are expensive. The 980s are like at least $550.
Jeez.
So I heard people were like asking, trying to get their money back and stuff for these things.
They're making a huge deal out of it. And AMD had some jab at NVIDIA. They had some Twitter thing saying, oh God, what was it? Like, for the next 970 minutes, we're giving away like 3.5. So it was something ridiculous.
We're giving half gigs away.
Yeah, it was something like that, like totally making fun of NVIDIA for it. But, you know, there's actually some interesting stuff that's going to be happening soon. NVIDIA's got an event early March. That they're inviting a bunch of people to, and they haven't said what it's going to be about. And a lot of people are speculating it's right near the game developers conference. I'm hoping it's going to be a new Titan card, might be one of the announcements they make, because the last 2 Februarys they come out with a Titan.
And the Titan was it's their big one, right?
It's their flagship. And
it does well, I think.
Yeah,
I think it makes money.
I mean, it's a good card. The last one was significantly overpriced, but AMD is also they're hinting at coming out with their R9 300 card, which is going to be their new flagship pretty soon. It's supposed to be a beast, like from what they say. Like, it's supposed to topple the 980.
Until it's on a shelf, I don't want to hear about it.
It's coming soon, though. I'm telling you, early March is going to be big. Not only that, but Valve is saying they're going to have a huge presence at GDC. They skipped out on CES. They skipped out on Steam Dev Days. They didn't do this year. And they're like, no, we're saving it all for GDC.
Which means what?
We don't know.
Half-Life 3.
Yeah, right.
announced. You can put it on print right now.
No, it's probably they're going to be their Steam box, right?
It so, could be. I don't know. They had trouble with the controller. But, God, I'm so sick of hearing Half-Life 3. What's the last game Valve came out with? Portal 2 in 2008?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, Valve doesn't make games anymore.
Yeah.
They make money.
Okay.
Boom.
Talk a bit to me about this Metacritic thing.
Oh, Metacritic.
Because we're running a little long here.
All right, let's stop rambling. So apparently Eurogamer is now no longer doing numbered reviews. They're not going to rate a game 1 through 10. Kotaku, Rock, Paper, Shotgun, they have been doing this for quite some time. And the reason they're not doing it is so their scores won't get calculated into Metacritic, because they believe that Metacritic is hurting the game industry with their scores.
Okay. I mean, I would agree that Metacritic influences gaming. I've yet to see anything that says Metacritic is ruining gaming. I think gaming has been the strongest it's ever been right now.
No, I think that Metacritic is getting hits away from their websites. Nobody goes to their website for reviews anymore because it's all incorporated into... And I for one, don't read reviews on games very often. I just look at numbers, unfortunately. Like, I'm not supposed to say that, but that's how I do it. I just go strictly by Metacritic. So that means that I'm not going to five websites, which all need my numbers.
Okay, yeah, well, let me read exactly what they wrote. This is the reason that they gave. I'm going to just read the last sentence here. The last two. The result is... Okay, I'm going to have to start sooner than that. Sorry. It's a problem caused by the overimportance attached to Metascores by a certain sector of games, business, and audience. Metascore, which are, let's remember, averages of dozens of numerical values ascribed more or less arbitrarily in different systems by a wide range of reviewers expressing a wide range of opinions. The result has been conservatism in mainstream game design and a stifling of variety in critical voices. In short, it's meant less interesting and innovative games. So they're saying that Metascore has caused games to become less interesting.
Less innovative.
Less innovative because everybody wants to play it safe and get a good review because people get bonuses based off reviews. We've heard stories about that. Publishers are very concerned about the ratings of a game. So everybody just wants to play it safe and give people what will get good scores, not necessarily what's going to be new and exciting. You know, let's take a chance and do something crazy.
Well,
go ahead.
I don't know. This is, to me, this is like, if it's good, it's good. Like, I don't know why it's got to be, if you're getting an 80 or 90, the game is going to be, it's going to be good. And I'm sorry if it's not pushing boundaries, but good is good. Like,
is it, though? So you're saying whatever's popular is good?
No. I didn't say popular. I said good. Good is good. So if it's an 80 or 90, I'm not saying it's going to be... It's popular. It probably will be, but I'm not saying it has to be. But an 80 or 90 means...
I completely disagree with them. Like I said, first of all, I think Metacritic is just hurting their business. And also, this is the most innovative time in gaming because of all the indie side. Indie's fucking doing all kinds of new shit on all these different...
Yeah, but indie has nothing to lose. The publishers are concerned that if someone goes and takes a chance on a new creative game style, if it fails, it's going to cost them a lot of money.
That's why you test it out on the indie market first, or you see how it does there, and then go to... You know.
I think this is a backlash from gaming moving to the commodity market. Because what we had when games were first coming out is essentially everybody was an indie. Like... Everybody was figuring this out. Everybody was a smaller company making a lot of money. And as the guys got bigger and bigger, we moved to a commodity market. Like Call of Duty and Halo and all these big name AAA ones, they are commodities. They're not specialty items. They need to appeal to everybody to get 10 million people to buy them. Like, you cannot innovate and get 10 million people to buy them. So, you're going to have less innovation on these AAA titles because you just can't... Like I said, they're commodities. 10 million people to buy them is not a specialty item. That's why the indies are the ones that need to push those, because
and
those
it doesn't
are the ones
make
that
it a
can.
Bad game either.
Yeah, it doesn't.
Yeah, it's GTA like, 5 is an amazing game, but it is 5. It's yeah. GTA 5.
Yeah.
Sure, they didn't push any boundaries, or maybe they played it safe even. I don't know. I haven't played it yet, but yeah, I can't disagree with them more. I honestly, I think it's that they're hurting, you know, it's hurting their numbers.
I respect them for pushing the idea that games are art and can't be quantified by a single number, and we need to take a deeper look at it. If you guys want to take that stance, I am A-okay with that, and I appreciate that. But to knock down something else because it doesn't fit into your hipster, you know, like that, I'm not cool with that. Like, do your thing. If you want to say, okay, we're not doing numbers anymore, that doesn't fit with our culture and everything, I'm A-okay with that. But if you know, like, I just think that's bullshit. Like, Metacritic,
and also, like, when I
Metacritic is accurate for the most part, right? Like,
when I ask you guys, hey, is this good or is this bad, you tell me if it's a good or a bad, and that's about it. Like, I'm good on that. Like, that's okay, should I do this or should I not? I don't, why is it good? I've never asked anybody, why is that movie good? I just go watch the movie. Yeah. You know, like, that's good enough for me. Should I buy this or not?
Yeah.
And then I use
Steam reviews 90% of the time.
Yeah, me too. Although we were just complaining about that, right?
Those aren't as reliable as you'd like to think.
Well, now, I try to stay away from Pigeon Dating Sims. Yeah. And then
what is the Metacritic on that? Do we know?
God.
It's got to be mixed.
I don't know.
It's got to be mixed. It cannot be.
Oh, no, it's got positive reviews.
Okay.
I mean, on Steam it does, but maybe the actual Metacritic, I don't know. You should look that up. So I'm curious.
Whatever.
I don't know.
We'll have it on our next episode.
How to Fool Boyfriend. Hato Fool Boy. I don't know how you pronounce it, but
Hato Fool.
You know how to spell it. I don't know. See, I don't know what to make of a lot of these stories on reviews. You know, this kind of came up when we talked about Gamersgate, too. Like, I don't put a lot of weight in reviews. I don't really care too much about them. I have a few people who write reviews that I like, and my tastes are kind of in line with theirs, but I don't put a whole lot of weight to them. There's plenty of games that have gotten low scores that I've really liked. There's lots of games that have gotten high scores that I don't like, and I don't buy my games solely based off of reviews. And personally, I don't see what the big deal is, but I know it is a big deal. Yeah. Like, all this review stuff, I mean, this is like a huge deal, and I don't really understand a whole lot of it.
Yeah,
it is a big thing. For sure. So let's end on a low note.
Well, I got a quick
sure.
thing.
Something happy.
So Emilio hasn't been drinking.
I haven't said cock. What? Cock!
Yeah, and it's really bothering me. So if you guys find Emilio less fun these past couple weeks, post a comment up on Steam Group so we can get him drinking again.
That's fair.
So he can once again be fun.
Shut up your side.
Do you want to do any sort of hit us up, Bobby?
Oh, yeah. Well, check out our website, dlgaming.net. You can find all our stuff there. And if you would, pretty please, leave us a review, rate, or subscribe on iTunes. That would totally help us out.
Yeah. Number one thing you could do for us. I say it every week. Actually, next week, I think we should lead with that. But thanks for listening, and titties.